family picture frames.
Who are the people in yours? I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy. In This Together is a podcast where we discuss topics related to today's family. We also go behind the scenes to share stories from our own crooked picture frame.
And we interview guests to discover how their stories can give us insight on becoming families who live, love, and lead well.
Because you're not alone. We're in this together. This episode of the In This Together podcast is brought to you by Lifeway Women. For more information about all the events Lifeway Women has to offer, visit lifeway.com/womensevents.
Welcome to season 4 of the In This Together podcast. We are so excited to journey with you in season 4. We have some fun guests prepared for you and great topics that you have sent to us.
They're more than fun. They're fabulous.
Very fabulous.
I'm excited.
Coming into season 4 and coming out of season 3, we gave you a best of that we released. If you haven't checked that out, go ahead and do that. We had some really, really great episodes in season 3 that we just basically took the most popular ones and re-aired them to take a little bit of a break. And the reason I'm saying that is because one of the topics we're going to talk about in season 4 is finding margin and creating rest in our family. And we just recently did that ourselves. And so coming back into season 4, we're pretty excited and have a busy but yet super fun fall ahead of us.
I don't even like the word busy. We're learning about rhythms of Sabbath, and I shouldn't say, I think it's just a continual learning process. We're just getting better at it. But it's full. I think life is full, but
great point. We're gonna eliminate the word busy from our vocabulary.
Yes.
Let's do that. Okay, so if you're listening to season 4 right now, we are officially, as In This Together family, gonna eliminate the word busy from our vocabulary.
Life can be full and rich, but it's all, we want it to be good stuff. So we're gonna talk about that. And actually, kind of what we're starting to talk about today, which we're launching back in, and it's back to school.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, maybe your kids here in Tennessee, kids actually have already started back to school. Mm-hmm. And we're only in mid-August, and you know, some schools around the country don't start till after Labor Day in September, but nonetheless, school is coming, new schedules, new changes. So today we're talking about how to spiritually prepare your family for the new school year. Before we do that, though, before we jump in, we're going to do something new here in season 4, and that is we want you guys, so we've asked you to submit topics, we've asked you to submit questions, and you guys are so amazing at doing that. We have a number of different Q&A episodes planned for season 4.
We haven't even started season 4, and we already have 4 full episodes
of Q&As.
Of Q&A questions.
Which is fantastic. So keep sending your questions and topics. Actually, a lot of the topics we are covering, we ended season 3 with a 3-part series on children with special needs and families of children with special needs. We did that because that's what you were asking us to do. Mm-hmm. And so we're so grateful for that. A lot of the topics that we're going to be covering in season 4 are because they are topics you have requested.
Yep.
And so that's what being in this together is all about. And so we'd love for you to continue submitting questions and topics, but even more at In This Together podcast.com. So if you went to the website, InThisTogetherPodcast.com. But even more than that, what we'd also love for you to do in season 4 is submit how God is using the podcast and these conversations to impact your family.
Which we've gotten a lot of, and we're just so grateful. It's the most humbling, just encouraging thing. I mean, when you talk about testimonies and testifying, I mean, it talks all through scripture that we are to testify our faith. We are to testify the works of God. And as we testify, it's like we unlock things. But when we hold that back and we keep that back, I mean, all that is doing is it's not proclaiming the God that provides. It's not proclaiming to others how the Lord's working in your life. And I mean, that is our testimony. That's like the armor. That's the sword that we get to wield. And it draws other people to him. It's remarkable how many times you will see a life transformed simply by hearing of another's faith or of what God has done in their life. And so we're just, for all the people that have submitted stories and just things telling us about their family and their kids and their marriage and how, you know, maybe just something that has been shared here has impacted, like it's just so profound and incredibly cool. And so we're going to start just sharing one or two an episode just so you get to hear it and be a part of it, because it's remarkable what the Lord is doing here on this earth. He is active and he is moving. But this one is just really fun. This one was from Ashley, and she said, "I wanted to share with you guys a really cool way God is using you. A few months ago on my drive home," she actually lives here in Nashville, "God nudged me and listen to your podcast with Mr. Stuart Tutler." So this was one back in season 3. "I was struggling at the time and I felt a stirring in my spirit that I couldn't quite nail down. I sought God every morning seeking what he was up to. And very clearly he told me one morning, 'Ashley, I sent you here to start a school and I'm going to guide you one step at a time.' And he told me clearly to reach out to Stuart. So I went back to the show notes and I looked him up and I called him. Today, another girl and I just spent the day with Stuart touring the school, learning the ins and outs to assist us in building our new school here in a small town in Decatur, Alabama. God is burdening us for the low-income families in our community, and he is doing a big and sweet work, and you guys are a part of it. I thought you would be encouraged to know that God is using you to directly impact an entire community, to reach out to the poor and break down racial divides. Kids that may have never otherwise heard about the love of Jesus are being reached, and God wanted you guys to be a part of it. It's beautiful and amazing. We are in the early preliminary stages and hope to open for the 2019-2020 school year. Stuart is coming to our ribbon cutting ceremony. Maybe you guys could come with him." Oh, people. Oh, thank you. She just said, "Thank you for what you're both doing. May God richly bless you as you reach out to people." Ashley, thank you for sharing. And we're praying for you and for that school. And how cool of a story is that? That's just one of, we've had some other businesses that have been opened. We've heard about, and just neat stories. And so, thank you for sharing, and we send them in. We'll share them on the podcast.
Yes.
Glory to God.
We've truly since been in touch with Ashley here and there, and it's just, what a neat story. What a really cool story. So send.
Hey, and if any families live in Decatur, Alabama, there's an amazing new school opening. That's right.
So we want you guys to keep doing that. Today, we're going to talk about three specific ways that we can spiritually prepare our family for the new school year. I want to give you guys some questions. You might be driving in your car. We'll put those in the show notes as well to just kind of get you to have some homework out of this episode. Because what we're doing is we're really preparing, we're planning. And a lot of times, planning means that we have to write these things down, and it's being intentional.
All the type A listeners are like, ooh, planning, lists. I like this. I write it down. Okay.
So one of the things that I think it's important to begin with is even asking the question, as you think back on the last school year, and you may be homeschooling, your kids may go to a Christian school, a private Christian school, similar to what Ashley is developing there, but they could go to public school as well. What we'd love for you to do is really think back on the last school year and your children and ask yourself, what is the one thing that you learned? What is the biggest lesson that you learned from last school year?
Are you asking me?
No, I left the silence there so that it allows people to like think for a second. What's the biggest lesson that you learned from last school year? It could have been about your kids. It could have been about your family. It could have been about education in general. What would you say is the biggest lesson you learned from last year? And I think it's important that we ask ourselves that and we go back, because let's celebrate those things.
Can I tell you my answer?
Go ahead.
Okay. So mine was, I am learning to parent when it comes to education, out of conviction and not fear. That I realized I made decisions The whole homeschool, private school, public school, just decision. I mean, I was, my fear of other options is what was causing me to think that I should make a different choice versus the conviction. I mean, so for me particularly, it was the fear of public school that was making me feel like maybe I should homeschool. But I personally right now in this time, I do not feel convicted to homeschool. I do not feel like the Lord's telling me. I do think that season will come eventually. I wonder. And we take it a year, a child at a time. But that was my huge takeaway. I realized the Lord will use wherever we place our kids for His glory, for His good, as long as we're following Him and we're not making other decisions out of fear.
Hmm. Wow, that's so good. It's so good because I think so often we walk in shame as parents.
Yeah.
If you know, and it's easy to do depending on the community that you're raising your children in. You know, it's easy to walk in shame, like, oh, maybe I send my kids to, public school, but I hang out with a lot of homeschooling parents and families. And I just feel like this guilt and shame, like I'm supposed to. And I think it's very important that's why we stay prayerful, to know the difference between conviction and shame or guilt.
Yes.
Right? Like what is the Holy Spirit convicting me to do versus what am I feeling ashamed of or guilty for doing or
guilted
not doing?
Into. I mean, guilted into paying tens of thousands of dollars for a private school education because that is better for my kids. It might not be.
Or it may very well be, depending on where you live and what God is leading you and your family to do. So I think
that's the deciding factor. It's conviction versus shame.
Yeah. And not comparing yourself to other families.
Yeah.
It's, and that's why we have to be so in sync with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Praying at all times in the Spirit is literally being able to have an ongoing conversation with the Spirit so that we know what God is leading our family to do. You know, we talk on the podcast about being families who live, love, and lead well. We want to know, what is God calling me to do as a family? What is God calling, you know, our family to? And then we can walk in that, and we can walk boldly in that, we can walk confidently in that.
Unapologetically, yes.
And it doesn't matter what other families are doing.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to be swayed by that because I know what God is calling me to do.
Yeah.
And calling our family to do. So what we want you to do, number one, to spiritually prepare your family for the new school year is surrender. We're going to do three S's. We're going to do a little alliteration here in the podcast today.
That's like a good classic Baptist sermon.
That's right.
Right there.
3-point sermon, right? Yep. With all your S's. Number one is surrender.
Or
be
it
great
spells
way to
a
remember.
Really great word.
So we're going to do surrender. And what we mean by that is take that biggest lesson you learned from last year and apply it into your life, but surrender your parental agendas. Mm-hmm. So often we enter the school year And it starts with us as parents. So we're going to talk about us as parents and talk about kids. First of all, with us as parents, we need to surrender our own parental agendas. And parental agendas are agendas that we have for our kids that God might not have for our kids or that our kids might not even have for our kids. You know,
For themselves, yes.
Yeah, for themselves. So the most classic example would be the, unaspiring athlete, the wash up who, you know, is now living his or her life through their kids and trying to force their kids into becoming a professional athlete because they didn't do that, right? But surrender your parental agendas. Write them down. Like, what do you really desire for your kids? You know, so often what happens is we want our kids to get great grades. Or we want our kids to be, you know, the star of the baseball team or the star of the football team or something like that, right? And so you push them, and the reality is maybe they don't even like it. Maybe they're not good at it. And yet we're pushing our agenda because it's our agenda as a parent.
But do you realize the word you used? Push. I think what we don't recognize is if we don't actually sit down and take the time to recognize our own biases and our own agendas for our kids, this is like in every facet of life, we are operating under a pressure. Like it's this this low-grade anxiety that exists because it's like, oh, we're just not there yet. I have to drive. I have to push. I have to, it's striving, right? And you feel the weight of that actually in your home, and your kids for sure pick up on the pressure of that, that it, they're just not, it's not quite enough. And you feel like your kids just aren't quite enough. And that alone, that pressure, that anxiety, that worry, that fear, they're not enough. They're not going to be, that's what we have to lay down before the Lord. That right there is what we need to surrender. Because I had a garden this summer for the first time, and I've had flowers, but I've moved into like food plants, vegetables that you can eat. It's been the most delightful thing.
And delicious thing.
And delicious. I know. It's brought me so much joy. But seriously. Okay. So being a new gardener, I did not know. I bought the little, I did not do it from seed because I'm not there yet. Maybe next year. But I bought the little plant things, you know, like little plant seedling things. They all look the same. I mean, I couldn't tell you the difference between a summer squash or a yellow squash or a cucumber or whatever. I don't know. They just look like little dinky plants, but you plant them in good soil, you fertilize them, you water them daily, you tend them, you put them in a place where they get a lot of light, and look what happens. I mean, the sheer joy of walking out there for the first time and seeing this little zucchini plant actually produce a zucchini, like it just, it, given love, given the right ingredients that it needs to thrive, it just does what it was designed to do.
And you talk to them, and you water them, and you're emotionally safe for your plants.
Stop it.
It's
but
true.
But I kind of do love them a lot. They're such joy to me. But anyway, I mean, but this is the thing. Everything that zucchini plant needed to produce amazing zucchinis and do what it was meant to do was already in there. But it's never going to produce a cucumber. It cannot, if it looks, its next door neighbor is a cucumber. If it tried to produce a cucumber, wow, and look like the cucumber, I mean, the stress of it alone would probably kill the plant. Mm. It cannot do it.
That's a great analogy.
What if we just water our kids? What if we just put them in a place where they get a lot of light and they get a lot of love and they get watered and tended to, and we watch and see what cultivates, what comes out of them, whatever it was that God put in them to do. And then we're not standing there day after day begging them to be a cucumber.
That'll preach.
Cucumbers and zucchinis preach.
Hey, they have for years called VeggieTales.
Oh, ba-doom shay. That was actually quick. Yeah, my tomatoes aren't doing so well. Anyway, that's another topic. But, right? And it takes the pressure off all of us. So surrender. Right. Number one, surrender. Number two.
Well, wait a second.
Okay.
We talked about us as parents, but we also have to get our kids to surrender.
Hmm. What does that look like?
So, and here's what I think is important. Part of us surrendering as parents, I think, is journeying with our kids. We can't just do this by ourselves. We're in concert with our kids as parents. And I think it's really important that as we set up for the school year, there's going to be new schedules. There's going to be new teachers. There's a lot of new for kids, new teachers, yeah, new friends. They might have gone from an elementary school to a middle school, and they're changing schools altogether. So now they got new rooms. They got new peers. They got new classes, new subjects. Everything is so new, a new schedule, a new waking up and coming home and going to be tired. Like, so we have to be able to be in ongoing conversation with our kids because everything is so incredibly new for them. And
yeah,
that brings up fear. That brings up, a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. It can bring up a lot of just tiredness and exhaustion. And in that process, kids can shut down. Mm-hmm. Kids can tend not to want to talk, desire to talk, and that's okay. The more you can prepare ahead of time before they get into these routines and start getting tired in that first month, don't put the pressure on them to have to talk every time they come home from school, but prepare ahead of time. Ask them their questions. What are they looking forward to? Have them make a list of the things that they're most looking forward to this school year. Do these at bedtime. Have them talk about their fears. What are they afraid of? What are they not looking forward to? And then what can happen is these can be ongoing conversations as they come home from school early on, you know, or what you were looking forward to. Is it aligning with the way that you thought it was going to go? Are your fears aligning with what your fears really are? Because a lot of times we can look and be fearful of something and then that not be the real thing that we were fearful of because something else is scaring us. And so, you know, having these ongoing conversations, part of surrendering is being able to surrender to the Lord our agendas, but then also being able to be in communication with our kids and having those conversations with our kids so that we can learn from them as well, what they're looking forward to and what they're not looking forward to, because we just become students of our kids. That's really what it is.
Did you know that 94% of people who come to know Jesus do so before the age of 18?
That's a great statistic, but what does it mean for me as a parent? How do I teach my kids what loving God means or even looks like?
Welcome to 22-6 Parenting, a community of parents walking alongside each other to raise kids who love God and love others.
Created through the lens of child development research and grounded in Scripture, 22-6 puts the tools and ideas in your hands to be intentional without adding anything extra to your day.
22-6 has three main features. First is community. It is a shame-free community of parents encouraging one another in our most important role, that of mom and dad. Each month, we go live for a Facebook Q&A with the community.
Secondly is content. 22-6 provides the tools you need to talk about God to your kids. Built on the four key times of the day Moses encouraged to use in Deuteronomy chapter 6, each month's content includes morning prayers, dinner time stories, drive time games, and bedtime questions.
And then there's the coaching. Each month you'll receive a coaching video on that month's mile marker or the topic with practical applications for how to foster character development and spiritual formation in your kids.
Learn more today at 226parenting.com. That is 226parenting.com.
Okay, number two, set expectations. This is good because it's similar to the surrender, but we're talking about who we want our kids to be and who we want to be as adults.
And what I would say to do here is write this down. Write these expectations down of who you want your kids to be and who you want to become as an adult.
Okay, so let me tell you what I do. This is something I started earlier in the summer. I started writing down 10 things every day, and I use the statement, I am. So I am a woman who, I'm trying to think of which ones I want to share, who lived lightly and freely. That's one of mine. Because we know that the power of life and death is in our tongue, right? So we literally have the power to speak life or death over ourselves and over our kids, which is super powerful. But so writing down, I am a woman who lives freely and lightly. I am an exceptional mother. I am an exceptional wife. I am a woman after God's heart and word. I am a woman. Like, these are the things that I am saying about myself. They might not necessarily be true for right now, for today. I might not have been the most exceptional wife yesterday, for example. I think I was actually. Yesterday was a good day, but
you're exceptional, baby.
But writing those things down, we're proclaiming the truths of God over our life. We're proclaiming life over our life. And we will start to seek out those things as we say, and we it's just like your bucket list, except it's for who you are and who your kids are. So who are your kids? They are respectful. They are, you know, I'm trying to think,
like for us, for instance, last year, two of the biggest ones we were instilling in our kids at the end of the school year were kind and brave.
Yeah.
So in other words, you know, the expectation for your kids this year might not be straight A's, but, you know, and by the way, go listen to, episode 47, if you haven't, our interview with our friend, Frank Tate, on Screaming Data. And, you know, he has an illustration where he didn't expect his daughter to get an A in math because she wasn't a good math student, but he did expect that the teacher was going to be writing in the notes section of her report card that she brought joy to other people and made people laugh. And that's how he wanted to champion her, because that was his expectation for her, is to live out of who she was. And so, you know, set the expectation, you know, especially if your kids are a lot younger early on, you know, one of the things to do is give them some character traits to live up to. You know, if our kids are bringing home straight A's from school and they're selfish, entitled brats, I haven't done a very good job as a parent. Mm-hmm. I'd rather my kids get straight C's in school and go be an amazing, empathetic leader somewhere where they actually get into people's lives and care about people than to be straight A students. That's my values. I mean, I know there's certain cultures that don't value that the same way. You need to know what you value and what you're trying to instill in your children.
Yeah.
And don't overcomplicate this. You know, Christy has 10 for her. You may choose 2 for the entire school year, depending on the age that your kids are at, and hone in on those 2. I mean, can you imagine if your kids, after this particular school year, at the end of the school year, you looked at them and you saw that they were kinder, they were more kind and more brave than you've ever imagined they could, because you just focused on those 2 values. Mm-hmm. So set the expectations, and you don't have to use those values, but find the values that you want to instill in your kids, attach a Bible verse to them, and go ahead and put that plan together. You type A's, write this down, go ahead and do this. You know, I think it's just really important to put that plan in place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, lastly, number 3, our third S.
The third S.
Surrender, set expectations, and this is my favorite, simplify. Simplify, simplify, simplify.
Last year, we did a survey of over 700 parents, and we asked the greatest parenting struggle, and the biggest struggle for parents in our generation has been busyness, mm-hmm. or not enough time.
Yep. So really, this is becoming students of our kids' passions and their interests. So how often can we hone in on this? But it really is becoming students of our kids. But this time, it's their passions and their interests. Are they in activities that don't really align with who they are? Again, are we pushing them to do something, to be a cucumber when they're a zucchini? Do we have agendas regarding their activities? I mean, and this is a real gut check here, because this is, are we pushing them in every Bible program? Are we pushing them in even good things, church activities, service activities? But it's our parental agendas. It's too much. It's taking over our calendars and our family's life, and it's not prioritizing the things that we want most for our family.
And this is where it gets difficult, is because if you follow other families that, in your community on Instagram, and you're seeing them posting pictures of, you know, their kids in baseball or t-ball or soccer or football or dance or, you know, music, whatever it is,
and they're in Awanas, and then they have youth group,
and you're not, and you're going, oh my goodness, my kids should be in there. I can't believe we're not. Or maybe, and we hear this often, maybe you are an adult who you have expectations for yourself about how many activities you should be, because you're driven to be at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and, you know, every other activity in between.
Or you serve, you're the baseball coach. You're also the, you know, neighborhood HOA president. You're the, you take on, you're on this board, you're on that board. We've been in seasons where that was us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can.
We're in a season of pruning.
Oh, let's use more vegetables.
Let's use more. We're
gardening.
Our friend Henry Cloud talks about pruning, mm-hmm. that leaders need to prune. And I believe it's a very, very important part of making sure we have enough bandwidth. Because here's the reality, and I want you to hear this. We are very busy in our culture, and we run from activity to activity to activity, and Bible study to small group to church event, and we're very involved in our local church. We're not downplaying that at all. However, children spell love T-I-M-E. Let me repeat that. Children spell love T-I-M-E. And if we're too busy as parents, mm-hmm. to not give them the time that they're looking for, just this morning, as we were getting ready to enter into work, we were waiting for our babysitter to come so that we could do the podcast, our son Landon says, "Daddy, will you play with me?" And I couldn't because I'm trying to do some things outside. Christy was out working at the garden, and I was trying to prep for the babysitter. I was trying to prep for what we were accomplishing here today. And I said, "Kiddo, I will, as soon as I'm done working today, I will be playing with you." And you could just see his countenance change. Kind of like, man, I wish it was right now. Mm-hmm. There comes a point at which sometimes you might go, man, but my kids, they don't do that. They're not, you know, I think that's because a lot of times in our busy culture, they become hardened because all they keep hearing is in just a minute, just a second, we'll do it later. We don't have time right now. What messages are we sending to our kids when we have an inability to simplify, when we have an inability to slow down? So just really encourage you, as you want to spiritually prepare your kids for the new school year and for their schedules, pull out a calendar. Put down on a piece of paper a family mission statement for this school year. Take your top 2 to 3 values you want to instill in your kids, those expectations, put them into a family mission statement, and look at the end in mind. At the end of the school year, what do we want to be as a family? What will we have want to become? Who will we have want to become as a family? Forget the straight A's. Straight A's, forget that. Who are you becoming as a family? How are your kids growing in their character between now at the beginning of the school year and when they reach the end of the school year? Because I'm telling you, that's what matters. And I know for many of you listening, that's what keeps us up at night. As moms, those are the things that keep us up at night. When our kids are struggling with their feelings or with their friends or with their... It's not the grades. It's their spiritual and emotional development. And our time with them and our presence with them matters dramatically for that. So put your family mission statement together. We're going to also... write a mission statement. I'm going to also put some of these questions in the show notes for you, because what I think is important is as you begin to write some of these things down, as you begin to think about some of these things, we got some questions we want you to consider. Like, for instance, looking back at last year's school year, what's one thing that you would have done differently as a parent or family? What is a parental agenda that God is asking you to surrender in your own life right now? What are at least 2 values you would like to see your kids grow in this school year? 4, do you have a family mission statement? If not, write a doable plan right now to create one within the next week. Just take time right now to put a doable plan together to write one in the next week. And then what is one thing you can remove from your family's calendar that is adding undue pressure? These are questions that you can just process to simplify and go ahead and put together a plan to spiritually prepare your family for the new school year. I want to close by asking Christy to just pray for you and your school, your children's school year ahead.
Father, we just surrender. We come to you with open hands and open hearts, Father. We surrender before you our plans, our agendas, our children. And that feels risky and it feels scary, Lord, but we know that it is the best place for them to be. It is the best place for us to live and to walk before you in surrender. And so, Father, give us surrendered hearts. I pray for our children. I pray blessing and provision and growth over them this school year, for their teachers, for their friends. Lord, I pray beautiful friendships into their lives for each and every child represented listening. Beautiful friendships into their lives over this school year. May they grow in character, in courage, in kindness, and in love. And pray over these families, Lord. May they live freely and lightly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Check out InThisTogetherPodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button right there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us, and they help people learn about the podcast.
And we would love too if you'd find us on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy, or our website, drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and enjoy the moments.